of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. Now these are words for all of us who are leaders at All Saints and St. Richard's to read carefully, to think about, and to act on. They speak about Christian leadership in the light of the cross, in the light of the death of Jesus. Paul writes about the responsibility of leadership. And the first thing he says is, look after your own spiritual health. So he writes, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves. Literally, turn your mind to, be concerned about, care for yourselves. He means, of course, your own spiritual life and growth. It's no good being concerned for other people's prayer life if you're not learning more about prayer yourself. It's no good helping others to steer clear of temptation if you play with temptation yourself. It's no good speaking to others about getting their priorities right if the way you run your life squeezes spiritual priorities out. That's why the first thing Paul says to leaders is, keep watch over yourselves. He says the same in his first letter to Timothy. Timothy was, in fact, the chief leader of the church at Ephesus. And he writes in 1 Timothy 4:16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. A friend whom I greatly respect said this to me. One of the best things, he said, I can do for the Christians I lead is to stay close to my children. And the best thing I can do for my children is to stay close to my wife. And the best thing I can do for my wife is to stay close to Jesus. And from Paul's words here in verse 28, we can say the first priority of any leader is to maintain our own relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep watch over yourselves. So you're a leader in TNT or Junior Church, in Noah's Ark or Kaleidoscope or Campaigners. Are you not only praying, but also reading the Bible every day or almost every day? If not, it seems to me you're faced with a choice. Either to give up your leadership, at least for the time being, or to begin immediately making time to read the Bible. And if you wouldn't know how to begin, seeking out a leader you respect to help you. You're a lay pastor, you're a house group leader, or a Discovering Christianity course leader, or a PCC member. Are you steadily and regularly reading Christian books? A friend of mine many years ago said to me, I've been a Christian about 5 years, and although I enjoy sermons, I have for some time grown more through Christian reading than through hearing people speak. I think most mature Christians would agree. So is that your experience? Are you reading Christian books and growing through them? You're a leader in the music group. You're on the staff. You're a leader in guides or brownies. Are you growing in holiness so that you're learning increasingly to love what is good and to reject sin? Keep watch over yourselves, says Paul. The first responsibility is to look after your own spiritual health. And second, look after the spiritual health of your flock. Verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock, All the people whom God has entrusted to you, care for them, look after them. But how? Paul answers that by describing the Ephesian elders and all of us who are Christian leaders in two ways. First, he says, you are overseers. Verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This is the word that came to be used of bishops, episkopos. But in those days there was no difference between an elder and a bishop. All elders were bishops. And the word means literally one who looks over, an overseer. This means that a leader must watch. He or she must be observant. So you're a house group leader. And before your house group evening, you pray for each member of your group by name. Lord, where is he at spiritually? What are her needs? How can I be of help to him in his spiritual group, her spiritual growth? And in the group, you look. Did I see a tear in her eye? She said that. I wonder why. He seems to be very enthusiastic tonight. I expect that conference he went to over Easter helped him. Richard's chosen to sit in a corner on his own. What does that body language mean? And an overseer not only watches, he acts. That's what it means to say the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of the flock. So you talk gently to the lady with the tear in her eye after the Bible study is over. You invite the enthusiastic man to a meal because you want to encourage him further. You ask the one who's closest to Richard in the group to find out what's bothering him while you for a time pray for Richard every day. An overseer watches and acts. And then, says Paul, as a Christian leader, you are a shepherd. He's already introduced that idea by calling those whom we lead the flock, but he says it explicitly later on in verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God. And this, for us, conjures up perhaps pictures of a man carrying a little lamb. That's probably because we are 21st century townies. But for the Jew, there's no question what it would suggest immediately. A leader must direct or lead. In the Old Testament, leaders of God's people are frequently called shepherds, and it's quite clear that they are to lead their flock, to lead them towards God and his will, to lead them away from sin. So you are on the team of Noah's Ark, or the St. Richard's Mums and Toddlers group, or Kaleidoscope. Your aim is not simply to run things smoothly so that parents and children can have a good morning out. You're constantly thinking, how, through our group, can we help the children to learn about Jesus and to love Jesus? What can I as a leader do to help this mum or this group of mums to sign up for the Discovering Christianity course or for Alpha? Or to come to church with me this Sunday? How can we change the structures of our group so that in it parents and children really get the message of Jesus Christ? And in the context of the next verses, Paul clearly says that a shepherd not only leads, but protects the flock. So he goes on, verses 29 and 30. I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some even from your own group will come distorting the truth in order to entice the disciples to follow them. As shepherds, it is we will know that there are going to be attacks on the Christian faith from outside, from non-Christians. And there will be the more insidious distortions of Christianity that find their way in through those who are members of the church. And the leaders are to imitate Paul, verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears. It's part of our responsibility as shepherds to protect the flock. So as music group and choir leaders, we will make sure that all the words of songs and hymns, anthems and Christmas carols are as close to Scripture as possible. Wherever possible, actually quoting Scripture, as we had one song earlier on, which was almost neat from Philippians chapter 2. And we will always reject any hymn or song, however popular, however catchy the tune, that in any way, however subtle, distorts the truth. As leaders of TNT, or ranger guides, or craftsmen and campaigners, we will prepare our members for working life or college life, talking carefully through with them the challenges they will face to their Christian belief and their morals, as well as the enormous opportunities to grow as Christians. And talking again when they return for the vacations, especially if they've been battered in their faith. In your work of leadership, says Paul, you are to be both overseers and shepherds. And in this, you are acting for Christ, the ultimate shepherd and overseer. We heard some verses from 1 Peter 5 in the second reading. But Peter uses exactly these same two words in 1 Peter 2:25 when he says of all Christians, you were going astray like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian, or overseer, episkopos, the same word as here, the shepherd and overseer of your souls. There's no higher responsibility than that, to care for the spiritual health of those we lead as Christ has cared and does care for our spiritual health. And then Paul also speaks in this key verse of the motivation for leadership. The work of Christian leadership is demanding hard work. What will keep us at it? Paul gives at least three answers to that question. First, he says, the Holy Spirit has appointed you. Verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Paul is talking to the leaders of the Ephesian church. How were they made elders? Well, very likely Paul, who was in Ephesus a long time, approached them and invited them. That's true, says Paul, but it's not the most important truth. The most important truth is that the Holy Spirit put you in post, or literally placed you as overseers. And you who are involved in leadership at All Saints and St. Richard's, who are on the staff, or you're the leader of the Rainbow Drama Group, or the Mission Awareness Committee, or a lay pastor, who appointed you? Well, probably I approached you, or another member of staff. Yes, says Paul, but the really vital thing to understand is that you were appointed by God's Spirit, not the vicar. And every time you're finding your ministry tough and there are setbacks, or you feel you're not getting anywhere, remind yourself that the Holy Spirit appointed me to this post. The Holy Spirit set me here. When I'd been ordained about 6 months, I wondered whether I had made a big mistake. I felt I was wrong for the job. And for quite a little time, I wrestled with whether I should go to my vicar and to the bishop and say, "I'm sorry, I should never have been ordained. Please let me out quietly." But as I prayed, even though I continued to feel inadequate, the thought came back and back, "You prayed about this, Andrew, when you first came to this point. You were convinced God was calling you to this position. Is there any real reason for believing that conviction was wrong? The conviction that the Holy Spirit placed you here." And gradually I was brought to peace and to continuing my ministry. The Holy Spirit appointed you. Second, says Paul, God the Father owns the church. Verse 28. "Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God." The church you lead, says Paul, is not just the church at Ephesus. It's certainly not your church. It is the church of God. He owns it. It belongs to him. In fact, the next verb says that he obtained it. We'll come on to that in a moment. And we as Christian leaders often today think and talk about my group, my house group, which I run, my group on a Monday or a Wednesday for older people. Catherine always winces if ever I refer to All Saints as my church. And she's right to do so. Because the people we lead are God's, not ours. We are to shepherd the church of God. And we've already seen that the primary meaning of shepherd is lead. We are to lead the church, or a particular group within the church, forward. So if we are a junior church leader, we can never be content with where we are. We can never be happy with just keeping the group going as it is. We must be leading it forward. That's what shepherding means. But this is not our church, our group, to lead as we want. It is the church of God. And therefore we must be as sure as possible that God is directing our forward plan. In the early stage of the building project, I was quite concerned about this. I prayed a lot, of course. We talked a great deal on the PCC. But still I was concerned. Was this, as I believed, really the way God wanted us to go? Or was it just my idea or the PCC's idea? This is not the church of the PCC. Still less the church of Andrew Coombs. It is the church of God. I believe subsequently God showed clearly as he answered prayers that this act of shepherding, this leading, was from God. So we need to pray frequently about the whole direction of the group that we lead. Lord, I know you've made me a shepherd here and an overseer. But this is your group, your church. Show me the ways you want your church to move ahead. God the Father owns the church. And the third motivation for Christian leadership is that God, whether Paul says God the Father or God the Son, we'll see in a minute, God died for the church. And this is particularly where we come to leadership in the light of the cross. Let me read the whole of verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. Now that's a kind of paraphrase. If you look at the end, you will see a small T above the text. And if you then look at the footnote at the bottom of the page, it says T, or with his own blood, Greek, with the blood of his own. The Greek says, the church of God that he obtained by the blood of his own. And that may be a term of endearment. It's found nowhere else in the Bible, but I sometimes call one of my children, any one of them, my own one, my darling. And that may be what God is saying about Christ. I obtained the church with the blood of my own darling one, my loved one. And if so, then the church must be very, very much loved by God. But probably a more natural translation is also there under T at the bottom of the page. The church of God that he obtained by his own blood. By God's own blood. In which case it is an even more remarkable statement. God and Christ are seen so much at one that Paul can say God the Father spilt his own blood on the cross. That is not only a very clear way of saying that Christ is God, but it is the early beginnings of what Christian thinkers later explained from Scripture as the Trinity. But either way, the whole point of what Paul is saying is clear. The people you lead are so precious that God poured out his blood to make them his. And if they're that precious to him, they and their spiritual health must be very precious to us. So you're a leader in Y or in the men's discussion group. You know the Holy Spirit is prompting you to pray regularly by name for each member of the group, but it seems such an effort. I remember as leader of a student Bible study feeling I almost had to nail my knees to the floor to pray by each of them by name. I found it such tough work somehow. And yet God poured out the blood of his own dear one for the members of your group. Or God shed his own blood for them. In the light of God's sacrifice, can we really refuse to pray for them? Or you're a bereavement visitor or an Oasis leader, and you know you ought to have around someone you're caring for to listen to them and to encourage them, but Friday night with your feet up in front of the telly seems so much more inviting. It does. But when you realize that God spilt his own blood, the blood of his loved one for them, is it really too much to have them round for a meal or to go and visit them? Last week we were looking at a verse on prayer, which very naturally brought in the whole Trinity. I wonder if you remember it. Through Christ, both of us, Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. Ephesians 2:18. Here in talking about Christian leadership, Paul again with equal naturalness speaks about the Trinity. As a Christian leader, I am appointed by the Holy Spirit, not primarily by any human being, to act for God the Father, because the group I lead is His group, part of His church, in caring for people bought by the blood of God the Son. In your daytime job, if you have one, you work for Feedback or Servomex or the NHS or Beacon College, and you're proud to work for that company, for that institution, and you do your best. But in your service for the church, and actually in your daytime job as well, you are at the service of God the Trinity. The Holy Spirit who put you in post, the Father whose enterprise it is, the Son who shed His blood to win back the church. And if God the Trinity has made me and you overseers and shepherds in His church, only the highest standards of leadership will do to bring glory to Him. Let's pray.